Well, it's a great pleasure to catch up with this man each and every time he's on. He's the voice of cycling, of course. Matt Keenan, welcome back to SEN.
Thanks very much, Sam. At this point, I think I've got you covered for training kilometres because you're spending too much time on the radio and I'm out on the road riding my bike.
Someone needs to tell you, though, that isolation's over, Matty. You have been smashing that trainer there. Graham Brown, of course, the former professional. You've taken on his training program, and if the numbers are any guide, which they always are you winding back the clock here? Is there a comeback in the offing?
Mate, I am the king of the garage, but my kids don't have as much faith in me as you do. Graham Brown, who you mentioned, dual Olympic Games gold medalist from Athens, he put it to me during lockdown in Melbourne, why don't I coach you and see if you can get going a little bit better on the home trainer on Zwift in the garage, and we'll see if we can make any improvements. One of the sessions that I was doing, my daughter walked into the garage as I was in the red zone and she said, Dad, Graham does know you're not a professional, doesn't he?
Well, I'm glad you're sticking to the garage for now. Heaven help us if you get out back on the roads, you'll be ripping your mate's legs off.
Well, I'm ready to go. On Saturday, I'll be up in Beechworth for the Hunger Ride for Food Bank Victoria, doing 172 kilometres, starting in Beechworth, riding to Myrtleford, to Paul Punker, to the top of Mount Buffalo. I hope they've got a good lunch on. This will be a hunger ride for me. Back down Mount Buffalo towards Myrtleford. We turn off at Ovens, take the back road up to Stanley, where there is another big climb. I can't remember the last time I did 172 kilometres, Sam.
Nearly 70,000 bucks raised too for the food bank, which is fantastic. And you're going to have some company there. Max Gawn, we spoke to yesterday, somewhat fearful of what lies ahead. But Hamish Blake, the comedian as well, and a name that cycling enthusiasts know very well, the green jersey winner Baden Cook as well. It's going to be a great weekend.
It is. Max, who you've mentioned, he's done plenty of riding. He actually came to visit the Tour of Spain last year and he rode up the Col de Tourmalet, one of the most famous climbs across the border in France. Hamish Blake, you've seen him with his adventures with Andy, where he's done a few bike rides and he took him up a big mountain in the US.
Yep.
But Baden Cook is the benchmark. I mean, this is a guy, as you mentioned, won the green jersey at the Tour de France. But the thing that we can all keep in mind, if we are starting to struggle, is what we're doing it for. Food Bank Victoria has been around for 90 years. And each year they deliver somewhere in the vicinity of 16.7 million meals to people who are struggling to put food on the table. And there's plenty of people who will skip a meal, maybe skip a day because they're struggling to put food on the table. Significantly, they do a breakfast program for primary schools where there's one in five kids who are going hungry. And you know what it's like, Sam, your concentration levels when you go hunger flat out on the bike. And they deliver school programs to kids so they can have a meal before they go into the classroom. And they get really big bang for buck for their money. For every dollar that is raised, they can deliver close to two meals for somebody who's in need. So it's a really good cause.
That's fantastic. And there is a lot of excitement about this event, which is great. And this time every year, speaking of excitement, Matty, we'd be really excited. We'd be gearing up for what's become now widely known across the country as Australia's Summer of Cycling, Tour Down Under, into the Cadell Evans Great Ocean Road Race as well, the Jayco Herald Sun Tour. Sadly, neither of those events are going to be happening this year due to COVID, and it's a real blow.
Yeah, I'm going to really miss the Cadell Evans race and the Jayco Herald Sun Tour because for you and I, they're on home territory here in Victoria. The Tour Down Under is still going to have some sort of an event. It'll be domestic riders, our local Australian riders, including quite a few of them, fingers crossed, that are returning from racing in Europe. But for the World Tour teams, the big teams that we see at the Tour de France and Italy and Spain and so on, their season normally ends at the end of September. But now they've gone until the middle of November, and we're asking them to come to Australia and do 2 weeks quarantine in January. They need a break, and I understand why that decision has been made. And the South Australian government has made the right call as well by not putting the community at risk by bringing all those athletes and their support staff over. And the teams themselves have done the right things by the athletes. The athletes do need a break. They're not robots. You can't go all year round. And they've got to get ready for the big races in Europe that really kick off in March.
Yeah, the quarantine's a big issue, isn't it? We're seeing it with the Australian Open at the moment, aren't we? And that this is just that inevitable added layer of complexity when it comes to an international sporting event as opposed to our domestic codes, which we've, you know, admirably navigated through. Tell us about the national championships, though, because that's going ahead up in Ballarat, of course, in early January.
Yeah, and the good news about that for a lot of the athletes is they can enjoy Christmas a little bit more because normally it's only the second week of January. So Christmas isn't quite so fun. But they can have a little bit more fun at Christmas. The national championships are the first week of February, I think. And it'll be intriguing to see how many of our absolute best that we see at events like the Tour de France in Australia for the national championships. And there might be a few of the athletes that are just a little step below that that think, this could be my chance. A guy like Stijl van Hoff, who's won the Commonwealth Games gold medal, that he's been a bronze medalist at the national championships, he'd love to win the Australian title. Mm. Amanda Spratt, she's won the national title a few times. She's unlikely to come back to be able to ride the national championships this year. So it'll provide another opportunity for one of the younger athletes, perhaps, to make that breakthrough result that then gets them noticed by a big international team. I'm really looking forward to it.
What did you make of the year that was, Matty, which is such a hard question to answer? I mean, the world's best cyclists have got their feet up, as you say, at the moment, enjoying a well-earned break. I mean, the Spring Classics became the Autumn Classics. The calendar was turned upside down with all the Grand Tours. How about we start at the Tour de France? I mean, what's your takeaway from that? Tadej Pogacar with that penultimate day time trial, some actually consider to be one of the most dramatic days of cycling in the sport's history, as he overhauled Primoz Roglic up La Planche de Belfi there.
It has been labelled, and I agree with this, as the second most dramatic day in the history of the Tour de France. And this is an event that started in 1903. The one that tops it is the last individual time trial in 1989, when the American Greg LeMond won the race then by 8 seconds. But to think a country like Slovenia, which has a population of 2 million, you know, in Australia, we like to say we punch above our weight. They finished first and second at the Tour. Now, that is punching above your weight. And for a guy like Tadej Pogacar to be the second youngest winner ever, and the way that he did it, I think the fact that he was so young had the pressure off. It was his first participation in the Tour. It was the best edition of the Tour that I've ever commentated on. And there was a strong Australian link to his victory as well, because the guy that was calling the shots, making the decisions from the team car, the Damien Hardwick of that team, if you like, was Alan Piper, who's a guy who grew up in Yay in regional Victoria, moved to Belgium as a 17-year-old, plied his trade over there. He's not well known in Australia, but he is one of our great cycling exports, and he was the brains behind the victory.
Oh, he's a genius. And then you mentioned Slovenia, but Primoz Roglic obviously gets his lick of the cream, if you like, at the Vuelta a España. So they win two of the three Grand Tours of the year in the end.
Yeah, and another one that Primoz Roglic managed to win was the big one-day race in Belgium called Liège-Bastogne-Liège. It's known as La Doyenne. It's the oldest one-day race in the world. He looked done for all money. And the world champion, Julien Alaphilippe, Frenchman, charismatic, he got his arms up nice and early, 10 metres before the finish line. But Roglic didn't surrender and pipped him on the line and took the win. So there's going to be this fantastic photo for Roglic, a disappointing one for Alaphilippe, with the world champion with his arms up in the air, finishing second. But he then got relegated anyway from an earlier move, Julien Alaphilippe. But I thought that was a great moment for Roglic. It's never over until it's over.
Oh, happens to the best of them, doesn't it? We see it just about every year, the premature victory salute. And just coming back to Pogacar for a moment, one of the enduring memories, I reckon, of a crazy cycling year that was 2020 has to be Tom Dumoulin's expression as Pogacar flew up that mountain on the penultimate day there. He calls it as he sees it, Tom, and what he was seeing there, he couldn't hide his disbelief.
No, you didn't need to speak Dutch to know that he was not too happy with the outcome. And in fact, he used English swear words instead. And the look on his face was one of pure disbelief. Another highlight, though, came from Pogacar with the start of lockdown. He did a COVID lockdown rap in Slovenian, which somehow worked. It was like, you know, the first white men can't rap style thing, but it was sensational to see this 20, 21-year-old doing a COVID rap to try and support the Slovenian community through their lockdown. I thought was fantastic.
So as we get you to look into your crystal ball here, Matty, for season 2021, obviously Europe isn't in a great place at the moment when it comes to controlling COVID-19. How do you see the Spring Classics and the likelihood they will return to being the Spring Classics?
Fingers crossed. I mean, that's a question that is really difficult to answer. I'm surprised we even got the Tour de France started and then finished. Mm. And the numbers are higher now than what they were then. I hope that the sport is in a position to be able to do those races. And in terms of the Tour itself and Pogacar, the COVID lockdown could be a blessing in disguise for him. Because normally at this point, if you're the star of the sport and you've just won the sport's biggest event, you've got huge commitments throughout your off-season. with sponsor commitments, functions within his country. He's a national hero now in Slovenia. None of those things can happen. So he doesn't have any distractions. He can have his off-season and then start to prepare for 2021. And it could be good news for him. And I can't wait until we get on the start line for the tour next year.
Well, best of luck with it all, Matty, for you especially. I mean, we're going to hear your voice at the National Championships in the new year, as we touched on, and then hopefully in the Spring Classics, should they come to pass, and then hopefully we can get you on a plane and back over to Europe for some of the big stuff as well. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Sammy.